This content is AI-generated for informational purposes only and should not be directly used for clinical decision-making.
Hello and welcome back to the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. I'm Dr. Eris, Senior Attending Neurosurgeon.
And I'm Dr. Alara, Research Fellow. Today we're looking at a fascinating new study from the journal Microsurgery, published in 2026, titled Outcomes from Radial Fascicular Nerve Transfers, including extensor carpi radialis longus to triceps for elbow extension.
This is a topic that hits home for those of us treating peripheral nerve and brachial plexus injuries. For a long time, the surgical mantra was flexion over extension. We've spent decades refining how to get the biceps back, but often elbow extension was treated as a secondary goal. However, if you talk to patients, they'll tell you that a lack of triceps function significantly limits their reach, functional stabilization, and their ability to use the limb overhead.
Exactly, Dr. Eris. This study, conducted by Bindi and Ferris out of Melbourne, emphasizes that persistent triceps palsy can limit overall functional recovery, even when other motor functions are restored. They highlight that while direct nerve repair or grafting is an option in the acute setting, we often run into issues like proximal root avulsions, long regeneration distances, and unpredictable reinnervation.
And that's where nerve transfers come in. We've seen many donor options reported: spinal accessory, ulnar fascicles, intercostals, phrenic nerves. But the authors point out that results with these have been inconsistent, especially in extensive partial brachial plexus palsy. This paper looks at a very specific donor, the radial fascicles, primarily aiming for the extensor carpi radialis longus, or ECRL, fibers.
It's a clever choice. The study was a single-surgeon case series of four consecutive male patients, mean age of 32, who had traumatic brachial plexus injuries. All of them had complete triceps weakness, but, and this is the key inclusion criterion, they had preserved function in their wrist and finger extensors.
Right. You need that preserved donor. In this series, three patients had C5 to C7 injuries, and one had a partial posterior cord injury. What's interesting is that these patients had already undergone nerve transfers for elbow flexion and shoulder function. The triceps was the remaining missing piece of the puzzle. Alara, let's talk about the timing. When were these transfers performed?
The mean time from injury to surgery was 4 months, with a range of 1 to 6 months. This is well within that golden window for nerve transfers to ensure we reach the motor endplates before they degenerate.
Let's dive into the surgical technique described by Bindi and Ferris. For the residents listening, pay attention to the positioning and the anatomy here. They used a lateral decubitus position with the operative arm up. Alara, walk us through the dissection.
They used a midline posterior arm incision to expose the radial and triceps nerves between the long and lateral heads of the triceps. Once the recipient triceps nerves were identified and selected based on condition and size match, they turned their attention to the donor radial nerve.
This is where the microsurgery gets intense. They opened the radial nerve under the microscope and dissected the fascicles along a 20 to 40 millimeter length. Why so long?
To allow for separate electrical insulation and stimulation of individual fascicles, they used microsurgical strolls to isolate them. They were looking for the ECRL donor fibers specifically. They mentioned that if the fascicles weren't purely ECRL, they chose ones that primarily included strong ECRL function but might have had other redundant wrist or digital functions. They were very careful to check for adequate power and redundancy of function multiple times before performing the neurotomy.
That redundancy is our safety net. Once they had their donor fascicles, they coapted them to the motor branches of the triceps, specifically the medial or lateral head. They used 9-0 or 10-0 nylon sutures. They emphasized placing the repairs as close to the muscle as possible to minimize regeneration distance and, of course, avoiding tension at all costs. They also used fibrin glue to reinforce the coaptation.
And the post-operative protocol was relatively standard: a sling for 2 weeks, followed by mobilization and physical therapy. Now, the results are what really stand out. These were four consecutive cases, and all four patients regained functional elbow extension.
Let's look at the numbers. The mean follow-up was 19 months. What were the MRC grades?
At the final follow-up, elbow extension strength was MRC grade 4 or higher out of 5 in all cases. Specifically, three patients achieved MRC grade 4-5, and one patient actually achieved a full MRC grade 5-5. They also noted that the active range of motion was excellent.
That's an impressive success rate. But the big question with any nerve transfer, and what residents always get asked on rounds, is the donor site deficit. Did these patients lose their ability to extend their wrists?
No. The authors reported there were no wrist or finger extensor weakness and no donor site deficits. There were also no postoperative surgical complications. This supports the idea that the ECRL fascicle is an expendable donor in this context because of that redundancy in the radial nerve.
This is a crucial point for the why of this study. The author suggests that radial nerve branches offer anatomical proximity and a potential for synergistic reactivation. Using a branch of the same nerve to reinnervate a different head of a muscle group often leads to more efficient reinnervation pathways for the patient.
It also avoids the zone of injury, which the paper highlights as a major benefit of nerve transfers over traditional grafting. By moving the repair site distally, closer to the triceps, they are bypassing the damaged part of the plexus and shortening the time the muscle is denervated.
They also touch on the fact that while other donors like the intercostals or spinal accessory are available, they aren't always synergistic. Learning to use your breathing or your shoulder shrug to extend your elbow requires significant cortical remodeling. Using a wrist extensor fascicle to trigger elbow extension is often a more intuitive motor program for the patient to learn.
Exactly. The paper concludes that radial fascicular transfers using ECRL donor fibers direct to triceps nerves represent a safe and effective surgical technique. They explicitly state that patients with brachial plexus palsy, including triceps palsy, who have preserved wrist extensor function, warrant consideration for this specific technique.
It's a small series, only 4 patients, but the consistency of the MRC 4-5 and 5-5 results is compelling. It addresses a specific niche in peripheral nerve reconstruction, the extended partial plexopathy where the posterior cord isn't completely gone, but the triceps is.
One thing I found interesting in the discussion was their mention of expendable radial fascicles. They focused on ECRL, but noted the possible inclusion of other extensors like the ECRB if needed, provided the stimulation showed enough redundancy. It really highlights the importance of intraoperative neurostimulation. You can't just go by an anatomy textbook. You have to see what the nerve is doing in that specific patient.
Absolutely. Every trauma is different, and the internal topography of the nerve can be altered. That 20 to 40 millimeter dissection they mentioned is what gives the surgeon the room to be precise.
So for our residents and fellows, the takeaway here is don't ignore the triceps. If you have a patient with a C5 to C7 injury and they have wrist extension but no elbow extension, the ECRL to triceps transfer is a viable, high-yield option to keep in your surgical toolbox.
Well said, Dr. Alara. It's about restoring that full reach and stability for the patient. This study provides a very clear roadmap on how to achieve that with minimal morbidity.
That's all the time we have for today's deep dive into the 2026 microsurgery paper by Bindi and Ferris.
Thanks for joining us on the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. Keep practicing, keep learning, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Goodbye, everyone.